Well, last week, we started in the field of discerning of spirits for you two gentlemen and for Mary. We have been doing a series on manifesting God's power and going through a lot of detail concerning what that power is. And part of that power is the use of the nine manifestations we have. So we've been reviewing the manifestations of the Spirit. And last week, we started in the beginning of doing discerning of spirits, and we're going to pick up on that, continue on that, and we're going to go to Galatians chapter 1, the book of Galatians, chapter 1. Now, last week we saw that discern, because discerning the spirit, the word discern isn't necessarily really commonly used. But to discern means to distinguish, to separate, to make a distinction between things. And last week I had Connie to help me. She did some discerning for us using her five senses. And the first thing I gave her were two balls. And she had, by sight, discern which ball was bigger. Well, that's pretty easy to see right here, which one's bigger. So that's what discern means. You are making a distinction between the size of this ball and the size of that ball. That's about it. She also discerned by her ears the voice of her husband. I had two people speak the same thing. Tell her, I love you, Connie. And then Rube did it, her husband. And she was able to tell Rube's voice. She discerned who Rube was. She also was able to discern by smell the difference between peanut butter and grape jelly. She was able to discern by taste the difference between salt and sugar. And she was able to tell by, what do we got left?
Feel
the difference between a wet paper towel and a dry one. And that's all discerning is to be able to make a distinction between A and B. Or A, B, and C, or A, B, C, D, and D. Very simple. So when it comes to discerning of spirits, it's the difference is to be able to tell the difference between a Holy Spirit or a devil spirit or no spirit. Because discerning of spirits is where God gives us the ability to receive information concerning, it's necessary information, concerning the presence or non-presence of spirits. And if evil, whether you may cast them out. So he can inform us of the presence of spirits, their nature and their identity. Their nature being holy or unholy, their identity being, if it is an unholy spirit, a devil spirit, whether it's a lying spirit, a murder spirit, a spirit of confusion, you know, whatever it is. He can, and that information helps us in what we're going to do from that point. So, we're going to see in time how Jesus Christ really used this manifestation to help people get delivered. And so we also saw that a devil spirit is one of the devil's agents. You know, the devil's here, and he has his little agents, cohorts, and they're called devil spirits. Very simple, right? We also saw that the devil's aim is to steal, kill, and destroy. He endeavors to devour God's people, as it says in 1 Peter 5:8, that he wants to devour the whom he wills. He wants to hurt people. He wants to keep them from worshiping the one true God. And he does this with his spirits, called devil spirits. We also saw that the devil is the ruler of the world. God of this world, it says in Corinthians, he's in charge, which is why there's so many wonderful things that go on. That's why there's always wars going on, and man thinks he's going to figure out a way of keeping war from happening. World War I was the war to end all wars. Been a lot of wars since that war. Man will never be able to figure it out. Now, we also saw that despite the devil's rulership and domain over the earth, we as God's people are immune to his rulership. we are outside of his realm of authority at this point. And that's what we're going to see here in Galatians chapter 1, which is where we ended last week. Verse 3 says, "Grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins, that he," referring to Jesus Christ, "might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father." What a great truth there is there. We've been delivered from this present evil world. The devil is in charge of this present evil world, and we've been delivered from it. And we've been redeemed from it. To redeem means to buy back or to purchase. And what price did God have to buy back us? His only begotten Son. So that's why we are worth the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why rich is so rich. His value is the life of the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's go to Colossians chapter 1. Now, in order to get into this state, we have to get born again. And we know how to do that. We confess with our mouth Jesus as Lord. Believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead. When we do that, we meet that condition. We are born again of his Spirit. We have the Spirit of God in us. We're his sons. And as a result, we are no longer under the rulership of the devil. This is great news. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12 says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet," or adequate, just an old term for adequate, "to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath," that's the past tense, right, "hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins." Boy, oh boy, oh boy. That is incredible. I don't want to say unbelievable, because we want to believe it. It is incredible. Fantastic. It's a whoopee! It is really incredible. We, verse 13, "hath been delivered from the power of darkness." The word "delivered" can also be translated "rescued." We've been rescued. You ever fall in the water, like it's icy, and you fall in and you're going to drown, and somebody rescues you? Isn't that a good feeling? Just people that were on the Costa cruise line and the boat, the ship, you know, half sunk. Those people were rescued. I saw a few people interviewed on the TV. They all looked so sad that they were rescued. Anyway, so the word "delivered" could be translated "rescued." He rescued us from. The word "from" is a Greek word "ek," and it means out from, or out from the center. It's basically a circle with a line going out of it. We've been rescued out from the center of, what's it say, the power of darkness. That's what we've been rescued from. We've been rescued from the power of darkness. Power is a Greek word, exousia, and it means, it could be translated exercise power. It could also be translated authority. And so we've been rescued from, out from the exercise power or the authority of darkness. Now, darkness refers to all the goodness of God and the things he has available for us, right? Darkness is referring to the devil, his domain, his rulership, his power. We've been rescued from that exercised dominion, that authority. Yeah, incredible. "And hath translated us," or transferred us, "into the kingdom of his dear Son." So, God, it is great, isn't it? God delivered us from the exercised power of darkness. We are immune to God's power.
Immune to God's power?
I mean, the devil's power. Thanks. And it's all because of what Jesus Christ accomplished. He literally cannot touch us. The devil cannot touch us as we walk in God's power and walk on his word. So, question for you. If the devil has no power over us, then what about one of his agents, a devil spirit? Do they have power over us?
No.
By simple, clear logic. If the head honcho can't do anything to us, his little helpers can't either, right? So, let's go to Acts chapter 26. Acts chapter 26. Verse 18. And this is about Paul, the Apostle Paul, his ministry. One of the things that God wanted him to do. And verse 18 says, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by believing that is in me. So we've been go from the power of Satan unto the power of God. Let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. We've been rescued from the power of darkness. Boy, that's a truth worth repeating in our brain day after day after day. We have been rescued, delivered from the power of darkness. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9 says, chapter 1, verse 9. Got it, bring it out? Almost, right? I like the color of her Bible.
Yeah.
Cute. Verse 9 says, for they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you, and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. Now, if we were still under the authority of the devil, do you think he would allow us to turn from God? To turn from idols unto the true God? Do you think the devil would allow that to happen? Well, if we're still under his domain, he wouldn't let us do it. He'd say, oh, no, 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 you can't do that. But we've been rescued from that. We can worship God whenever we want. The devil can't stop us from doing that. It's sort of like, let's pretend I did something that civilly is illegal. And I got caught, and I went to court, and I got a judge that said, 10 years prison. So I got a 10-year sentence. I get there. I'm not going to tell you what I did. You might think badly of me. But I get there, and I find out, the cooking's not quite as good as it was when I had it at home. It's not quite as comfortable as when I had it at home. I'm restricted to this small room with bars in it. I'm told who I gotta eat with, when I can shower, when I can work. I can't go outside anytime I want. I gotta wear these funky clothes.
Sounds like the military.
So after a couple weeks of this, I'm saying to myself, I'm going to get out of here. So after lunch, I go see the guard and say, you know, it isn't really what I thought it would be here. I'm sorry I did what I did, but I'm leaving. So I start to walk out the door, and you know what he did? He let me go. No, that's not what he does. He says, if I don't listen to him, he'll physically hold me, and then I get back to myself. I'm still a bad boy. I'll be put in solitary confinement. He will hold me in that prison because he has the authority to do so, given to him by the government. As a guard, he has the authority. And if I raise too much of a ruckus, two guards are going to get involved. And if I still am a problem, more people are going to get involved to hold me in that prison because I am under a sentence from help. Now, after 10 years, every day, telling the guy I want to leave, I finally get the sentence complete, and the warden says, hey, your 10 years is up. You can go. You're free to go. So I get my last meal there. Joy, oh, oh joy. And I walk by the same guard, and I say, I don't like it here. I'm leaving. Is he able to hold me that day?
No.
He has no authority to hold me whatsoever. As a matter of fact, if he tried to hold me, if I wanted to be a real bad person, I'd hire a lawyer and sue him for trying to hold me in prison when he has no authority to do so. Now, when we got born again, that authority that the devil had over us is removed. It's gone. You can walk out of prison, do whatever you want with your fingers. The devil has no right over our lives anymore. None. Now, he's a dirty player. He doesn't go by the rules. He doesn't say, oh, that person's a Christian. He's God's kid. I can't touch him. Instead, he just pushes his way on people whenever he can get away with it. And if he can get away with it, he does so. He's here to kill, steal, and to destroy, to devour whom he can do. But if we know what our rights are in Christ Jesus and can manifest the power of God, we're immune. He can do what he wants, but it doesn't mean that guard could say, hey, get back here, get back here. But once I've been freed, I can walk out that door. He can't do a thing. So that's what it's sort of like when we've been rescued. We've been rescued. Go back to Colossians chapter 2. The work of Jesus Christ is just so big and so incredible. The plan of redemption and the work of redemption and the privileges of redemption are fantastic. Chapter 2, verse 13. Says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh. Am I in the right spot?
Yes.
Chapter 2, verse 13. Hath quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. That's what Jesus Christ did for us. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 2. This chapter shows, in the beginning of it, shows what, where we were before we got born again. Chapter 2, verse 1 says, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation. Word conversation means lifestyle or manner of living. In times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich, sitting over there, in mercy for his great love wherewith us, he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath made us, or quickened us, or made us alive, together with Christ, by grace you are saved. So, we walked at one time according to the course of this world. We got born again, and we got rescued from that course. We were able to get off the course according to us wanting to with God's word. So, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. Really wonderful stuff. And what's all this got to do with discerning spirits? I have no idea. Chapter 4. Verse 4.
Mm-hmm.
It all has to do with authority. One time the devil had authority over us, and now he doesn't. Chapter 4, verse 4 says, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world." We have Christ in us, the hope of glory, it says in Colossians. We have the Spirit of God in us. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. So whatever is in the world, we're greater than. Whatever authority and power the devil has, we have greater than. In Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. This is about Jesus Christ, what God did for him. Chapter 1, verse 19. "And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought or worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above," right? Not below, but "far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." God put Jesus Christ above it all. Above every principality, every power. Does that include the devil? Sure. That's what God did for Jesus Christ. And in verse 23 it says, "which is his body, the fullness of him." We, the church, are his body. We're members in particular. So if Jesus Christ is above that power, that dominion, and we're his in his body, that puts us in the same spot, right? We legally have the same dominion over the authority of the world, of the power of the devil. That's why we've been rescued from it. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Now, let's go to Luke chapter 4. We're going to look at Jesus Christ a little bit in how he lived and ministered and walked with the authority that he was given over the devil. He had authority over the devil because Jesus Christ had perfect blood, sinless blood. The devil never had authority over him. Now, while Jesus Christ walked on earth, he understood full well the authority that he had. And he learned it from the scriptures. That's where he learned it all. What he had, what he could do. And in the beginning of his ministry, in verse 1 of chapter 4, it says, "And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered." So 40 days tempted of the devil. Verse 13. You know, if you want, you can read the temptations that were involved. Verse 13, "And when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season." He was unsuccessful. The devil was not able to touch Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ kept speaking what the word said concerning every situation, every temptation that was brought to him. And he used the power of God's word to do so. So the devil was not able to overrun Jesus Christ. He couldn't just do what he wanted to do to him. Let's go to chapter 4. We're in chapter 4, aren't we? Yeah, okay. Let's go later in chapter 4. We're going to see how Jesus Christ operated, worked, and lived with this understanding of authority over the devil. Chapter 4, verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him. He rebuked him. He's referring to the spirit that cried out of that man. He rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and heard him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. He understood his authority over the devil. When that man that had a devil spirit in him cried out, he didn't get all shook. Oh, no. What's going on? He understood that was a devil spirit. He understood that he had authority over that spirit and that he could cast him out. And he did so. He said, Hold your peace. Be quiet. Shut up. And get out of that guy. Let's go a little further. We're going to go to Matthew chapter 8. Matthew chapter 8. Jesus Christ set the standard for what authority over devil spirits meant. He understood the authority he was given, and he used it. Matthew chapter 8, verse 16. It says, When the evening was come, they brought unto him, referring to Jesus Christ, got her? When the evening was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils, and he cast out the spirits with his word, and healed all that were sick. He cast them out with his word, because his word had authority. Just like in prison, when I was back there, McNarb would say, You can't leave today. His word had authority. I couldn't leave. Then when the warden said I could leave, I really didn't go to jail for anybody that. When the warden said I could leave, that was authority also. I moved with that authority. Here, those devil spirits had to move out because of the authority of the words Jesus Christ spoke. He understood the authority he had. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. Back there. Verse 40 says, Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers means many diseases, brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he rebuking them, suffered or allowed them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. They understood, these devil spirits understood where they stood, which was under the authority of Jesus Christ. And when they saw him, they all started squawking. Don't cast us out. But they couldn't not be cast out. They had to obey the words of Jesus Christ. And if Jesus Christ cast them out, they had to leave. Let's go to Mark chapter 3. Gospel of Mark chapter 3. These spirits had to obey what Jesus Christ told them to do. They understood the pecking order. They understood the authority of God, His word, of the Son. Chapter 3, verse 11. Verily, verily, I say unto thee.
You're in the wrong spot.
Yeah, I'm in John. I was like, what is that? I went the wrong direction. That's what I did. I went to the right instead of the left. Chapter 3, verse 11. Mark chapter 3, verse 11, right?
Right.
Can you check that on my
Oh, Luke.
I need a little verification. Okay, verse 11 says, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly means immediately, he immediately charged them that they should not make him known." He just said, shh, don't talk. And they couldn't. He didn't want them proclaiming who the Son of God was, apparently. But what we see here is those guys obeyed him. Let's go to Matthew chapter 12. Matthew chapter 12. How did Jesus Christ do all this? Well, he had the authority of God, and he had the Spirit of God upon him. He used the Spirit of God that he had on. Verse 28. But if I cast out devils by what?
The Spirit
of God, then the kingdom of God has come unto you. Chapter 12, verse 28. But if I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, that's how he did it. He used the power that he had with that Spirit that was given to him, that was upon him. We have that same ability. Let's go to chapter 10 of Matthew. Not only did Jesus Christ have this authority, but he gave that same authority to others. He gave it to the 12 apostles, chapter 10, verse 1. And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, which became, this is where he's going to ordain them to be apostles, him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits. The word power there is exousia, and it's often translated authority. He gave them authority against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sicknesses and all manner of disease. So he gave them the authority to do so. Verse 8 tells them, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely you have received. Make sure you charge a lot of money. Let's go to Luke chapter 10. So he gave the same authority he had over devil spirits to these 12 men, which became the 12 apostles. Matthew, Mark, Luke chapter 10. Was it limited to just those 12 guys? No. Scriptures show otherwise. Verse 1. Chapter 10, verse 1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also, and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. So here's a group of 70 people. He sends them out two by two to go ahead of him and to speak the word, to heal people. Verse 17, it says, they go out, they do what he says, and in verse 17 it says, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. Now, they were really excited about this. Even those devil spirits obeyed us. Holy smokes, you should have seen the things we saw. Jesus said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall down from heaven. They were doing such a great job, Satan had to get down and involved because things were falling apart really fast. Verse 19, behold, I give you unto you power to tread on serpents and scorpions. And this is referring to devil spirits, the power of darkness. And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Why? Because the devil has no authority over these guys anymore. Verse 20, notwithstanding in this, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. He's setting a spiritual perspective here. These guys come back really excited that these devil spirits are subject unto them. They were casting out spirits out of people, and it was a lot of fun. But he kept it in perspective. What you should rejoice in, the bigger picture, is that your names are written in heaven. You've got salvation. This is power that you can use. But the big picture is, you're saved. That's a bigger picture. And so he's setting that perspective to them. But rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So they were awakening to the newfound power that they had. But the bigger picture was, hey, you're born again. We got, not born again. Your names are written in heaven. Born again wasn't available yet. You're saved and you're going to heaven. So, one more verse, Mark chapter 16. So we see that he gave this authority to the 12 apostles. He gave it to the 70 believers who went out to speak the word and minister the word. And, not to leave anybody out, he gave it to anyone who believes in God. Chapter 16. Verse 17. This is just before he ascends into heaven. And he says, well, we'll do verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. So anybody who believes in the name of Jesus Christ, which we know is referring to getting born again, has the authority and the ability to cast out devils. So, it's really wonderful. In conclusion, Jesus Christ walked with the authority His Heavenly Father gave Him, and He cast out devil spirits. We too have been given the authority from our Heavenly Father because of the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, and we too can cast out devil spirits. So next week we're going to look at discerning spirits in light of having no fear of the devil spirit. Obviously, if we're the ones with the authority, there should be no fear of dealing with the devil spirit or spirits. So we're going to take a look at that next week. Okay? So, Father God, thanks for your love, your goodness, and your kindness, and for what your word does do to our souls, and for the great healing that you make available to us, and the cleansing that you've made available to us. And we're so grateful for the authority that we have, and that we have been rescued or delivered out from the center of the exercised power of the adversary, the darkness of this world. And we're immune to his fiery darts. Thanks for the abundant sharing, for blessing it, for your word to continue to move freely in this country and around the world. Thank you for the needs that we may have in our heart this day, that we look towards you for meeting them, whatever they may be, big or small, numerous or not numerous. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.